scripture reading is Psalms 42:1. Like a stag, a doe, longing for streams of cool water, my whole being longs for you, my God. My soul aches with thirst for God, for a God that lives. When can I go and see God face to face? 1 Samuel 3:6 through 9. A second time Yahweh called Samuel, and he got up and went to Eli. Here I am, Samuel said. You called me? You called me? Eli repeated, I did not call you. Go back to sleep. At that time, Samuel had not yet encountered Yahweh, and the word of Yahweh had not been revealed to him. Yahweh called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said once more, Here I am. You called me. Then Eli realized that Yahweh was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, Go back and go to sleep. And if you are called, say, Speak, Yahweh, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to sleep.
The first time I remember being lost, I was a young child with my mother at a drugstore called Eckerd's, Mayfair Shopping Plaza near 50th and May Avenue. Maybe I wandered off to look at the toy aisle, but before I knew it, I looked around and my mother was nowhere to be seen. My heart started racing and my breath quickened. I felt all alone without my trusted adult near my side. I started running up and down the aisles, crying and looking for my mother in a panicked state. At some point, I saw a grown-up run past the aisle I was in and then stop and turn around and face me. It was my mother, out of breath. She had the same panicked look on her face. She was relieved to find me, but also upset. She pleaded with me to never wander away from her again. I was so thankful to feel safe again, and I had no plans of ever getting lost again. On this fourth Sunday of Lent, we are asked to take a deeper look into the experience of getting lost. We're looking to see if there might be a gift for us within this usually unpleasant experience. I would imagine that almost everyone has been lost before, whether you are on foot hiking in a park, behind the wheel driving in a new city, or making your way through large crowds at a concert, a fair, an assembly, or a conference. Losing your way is usually accompanied with sweaty palms, increased heart rate, and feelings of panic or helplessness. A time in my life when I really felt lost occurred about 7 years ago. I found myself adrift without the security of a source of income or a permanent place to live. The year before, I had graduated from seminary. I didn't look for a church job at that time because my former partner, who had gone back to school later in life, had one more year of classes before she could graduate. Instead, I secured a one-year contract as a chaplain at a hospital in San Francisco. We lived in Oakland, so every morning I would commute via walking 1 mile to a carpool, riding in a car over the Bay Bridge with strangers who needed a third person to qualify for the free and fast lane, and then being dropped off at the subway and taking that several stops until I arrived near the hospital where I worked. I would commute home every evening and spend hours in front of the computer working on my 20-page ordination paper and 25-page UCC profile and resume. I had started the chaplain job in September, and my goal was to have all of my papers completed by January so I could circulate them and begin looking for a job as a pastor, since my partner would be graduated that summer and my chaplain contract would be done the following September. 9 months seemed like plenty of time to find a job, especially since we were open to moving anywhere within the continental U.S. Months passed, and rejection letter after rejection letter arrived in the mail. I had received 13 total thanks but no thanks letters, and not one church seemed interested in hiring me as their associate pastor. October loomed near, and we began packing our belongings into boxes. Job or no job, our lease would be up at the end of the month, and without a future income, we would not be able to afford the apartment. Without knowing where we would be moving, we rented a pod. A moving company dropped off a 10 by 12 foot storage box near the curb of our home. We packed the majority of our belongings into the pod and had it stored in a warehouse while the monthly storage rate accumulated on my credit card. To top it all off, my former partner's father was dying of cancer in the Philippines, and she hadn't seen him in several years. We charged $6,000 to my credit card so that she, her brother, and I could travel there to pay our final respects. We stayed for 2 weeks, and she got to hold his hand as he lay in the hospital bed. He died several days after we left. I was lost. I'd done everything I knew how to do. I answered the call to ministry. I finished 4 years of seminary. I trained for a full year as a chaplain. I commuted hours to and from work every day. I wrote my papers. I circulated my profile. I had glowing recommendation letters. And yet here we were, packing up our two-door Toyota Yaris with all our remaining belongings and setting off to stay with family. For a month and a half, we moved back and forth between the spare bedroom of two of my sisters. We drove here to Oklahoma City to complete my ecclesiastical council at Church of the Open Arms. I turned 30 that week. Somehow, I had imagined by 30 my life would be much different than it was. I assumed I would be an established pastor by that point. So many of my friends from college were. What was wrong with me? Why was I so lost? What more could I have done? It turned out that the Spirit was at work in the midst of my lostness. A special church in Rochester, Minnesota, had recently lost their associate pastor. A few months later, after they had prepared their church's profile, they began a search and came across my profile. The members wanted to meet me. I knew nothing about Rochester, let alone Minnesota. It was the first church that seriously considered me as their pastor. When they extended the call, I felt like the little girl in the drugstore aisle, relieved to be found and able to take deep breaths again. It took a full year of searching before my first call found me. But in hindsight, I could see the cosmic timing of the different events in my life. Thank goodness I got to be a chaplain for a year. Thank goodness we got to say goodbye to a family member before he died. Thank goodness we had the opportunity to live with my family and grow closer to them. However, in the midst of being lost, all felt as though it had gone to hell in a handbasket. Moving to Rochester, Minnesota was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. I learned the ins and outs of pastoral ministry. I grew personally and professionally. I paid off my credit card debt. And most importantly, I met my beloved sweetie. UCC pastor and author Eric Elms talks about the zigs and zags of his air flight from Omaha, Nebraska to Bandon, Oregon in his book, The Gifts of the Dark Woods. His travel included a leg to Phoenix, Arizona, where he stayed on the plane, and then a jaunt to San Jose, California, where he exited the plane and caught a connecting flight to Portland, Oregon. Once in Portland, he rented a car and drove the remaining distance to his family's cabin in Bandon, Oregon. Although his trip included an entire day's worth of travel and required him to go south, even though his destination was north, he never felt panic because all the stops, layovers, and plane changes were printed nicely and neatly on his itinerary. If only we had such a document to accompany us during the zigs and zags of our own lives. One contemporary reading for today speaks about the wisdom of standing still when we're lost. Although you may think you don't know where you are amongst the trees, and the place where you are standing has a name. It's called here. I learned this week that the ASL sign for here is open palms facing up in front of you. Here. It's a real place. The bushes beside you are not lost, they are here. The trees to your right and to your left are at home. The birds in the branches could pick this place out with their eyes closed. If only we could slow down and take a deep breath and get to know the place around us, then it would not be unfamiliar. There's a wisdom in standing still. I think if I had stood still in the drugstore aisle, my mother would have found me much faster. As it was, we kept missing each other, running in opposite directions. Instead of frantically searching for what we've lost, palms sweaty, hearts racing, what if we could name the place we're inhabiting as here and see what happens in the stillness? In my experience, God will come to you. 1 Samuel chapter 3 describes the call narrative for the Israelite leader, Samuel. Samuel's mother and father offered a yearly sacrifice at the temple, and Eli, the elderly high priest, would bless Samuel's parents. The story tells us that God took note of the yearly sacrifice and blessed the couple with 5 children, one of whom they named Samuel. In the Hebrew language, Samuel means God has heard. Samuel began a ministry to God under the supervision of the high priest Eli. One night, the boy was lying down in the temple, and God spoke to him 3 times. Samuel wasn't familiar with God's voice. He assumed it must be Eli who was calling to him. 3 different times, Samuel got up from his sleep and went to the old man. Each time the high priest told him to go back to bed, he had not called for him. After a long night of awakenings, Eli finally wondered if maybe it was God who was calling Samuel in his sleep. He advised the young boy that the next time he was awakened, he should say, "Speak, God. I'm going to stay right here in the silence in the middle of the night, and I'm going to listen what you have to say to me." Have you ever been woken up in the middle of the night? Perhaps you had a vivid dream, or maybe your worries stirred you awake. We find it hard to quiet our hearts and drift back into the REM cycle. Some say we keep our days so jam-packed that we have no room for God within our daytime schedules. The only time God can get our attention is in the wee hours of the twilight, when we have no tasks or appointments taking up our time. Stand or lie still. God will come to you. Last week, Dana and I were driving to a party at a congregant's house. We typed the address into our GPS and followed it to the best of our ability. But at some point, the voice told us to turn right, and yet there was no road to turn onto. Instead, we kept moving forward and ended up on a series of new roads that were not yet uploaded to the GPS. The map showed that we were lost, driving through grasses and fields. And yet there was newly poured concrete under our tires and road signs stating that we were indeed navigating named streets and intersections. An automated voice repeated, "Proceed to the route." The place we'd found ourselves was known to the locals and the roadmakers. However, it was so new that it was still unknown to those who make the maps, those who we depend upon to tell us how to get where we're going. At our book study this past Wednesday, one person talked about the difference between being lost and not knowing where you are. Being lost, he said, is being scared about not knowing where you are. But often he intentionally likes to explore a new town, to wander with curiosity, to see what might be out there. There's a popular bumper sticker that says, "Not all who wander are lost." He doesn't necessarily know where he is, but he doesn't consider himself lost. You can always backtrack if need be and find your way home again. I think about the times in our nation when we have been lost. What would it look like to stop running frantically from aisle to aisle, to stand still and to listen as a nation? I wonder about the times that this community has felt lost over the years. How can a church stand still, listen to God calling in the middle of the night, in the middle of the dark woods, and say, "Speak, for your servant is listening"? What might God say to us if we quiet our lives long enough to hear the call? To hear the vision that God has been dreaming up for us, both individually and collectively as a community? And what would it look like if instead of identifying with Samuel, we saw ourselves as Eli, the older character, not telling the younger ones what to do or to be, but giving the wise instructions to go back to sleep and invite the divine to reveal the direction of your life? Is there space in your life for God to talk to you, or must it happen in the middle of the night? What if the zigs and zags in your life get you to the desired destination, but only God can see the printed layovers, stops, and plane changes? What if after the 13th thanks but no thanks rejection letter comes the threshold to everything that is waiting for you? Within God's cosmic timing. What if the road you are traveling is real, but just hasn't been journeyed by enough people to end up on the maps yet? What if you're not really lost, but intentionally exploring the terrain around you, wandering with curiosity to see what new thing is beyond the horizon? What if even when you do feel lost, you learned that the place you are standing has a name, and that is here? What if God is like a mother in a drugstore whose child has wandered off? She's running toward you with open arms, but you keep running further away. Psalm 42:1 says, "Like a doe longing for streams of cool water, my whole being longs for you, God. My soul aches with thirst for a God that lives. When can I go and see God face to face?" Stand still. The forest knows where you are. You must let it find you. May it be so. Amen.